We all love a good mystery.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, who doesn't love connecting the dots and figuring things out? And what if the biggest mysteries were hidden in plain sight, like in stories we think we know?
Oh, absolutely. Sometimes it's the most familiar things that hold the most surprises.
Exactly. Like, let's talk about the Bible. Specifically, some of the ideas presented by Jordan Maxwell in this YouTube video you sent over. He has some really interesting interpretations. Some might even say pretty radical takes on the Bible.
Yeah, I mean, when you start looking at these stories as encoded with deeper meanings, it really changes how you see them.
For sure. Like the whole idea of a war between light and darkness as like the foundation of the Jesus story, we are going to unpack that today.
Absolutely. And we'll also delve into the possibility that Jesus is more of a symbolic figure, a powerful metaphor rather than a literal historical one.
Okay, and then get this, the idea that God in the Old Testament, specifically the Hebrew word Elohim, might actually be plural.
It really challenges the traditional understanding, doesn't it?
Big time. And then just to really shake things up, we'll touch on ancient cultures and how they might have influenced these narratives. And, well, we can't forget the really out there idea of extraterrestrial involvement in our origins.
Definitely a lot to unpack there.
Okay, so let's start with this whole light versus darkness thing. Sounds pretty straightforward, but Maxwell takes it to a whole other level.
Right. He suggests that the entire story of Jesus is essentially a metaphor for this age-old battle between light and darkness. And he links it to something we all experience every single day.
The cycle of day and night
Exactly.
makes sense. I mean, light is associated with all the good stuff, right?
Huh?
Safety, knowledge, growth, warmth.
Whereas darkness brings up fear, the unknown, that sense of vulnerability, it's a very primal, very deep-seated association.
Totally. And according to the source, Maxwell argues that ancient cultures were super attuned to this cosmic dance between light and dark.
And within that framework, Jesus becomes the embodiment of truth and light.
While the devil takes on the role of the prince of darkness.
Exactly. It's a pretty stark contrast.
Yeah, and Maxwell doesn't just leave it at that. He connects this to actual events in Jesus' life, the doubt, the rejection, the crucifixion. He sees those as reflections of how the world often treats truth and enlightenment.
It makes you think about how often progress and new ideas are met with resistance.
Totally. So, what really stood out to you about Maxwell's connection to the sun itself?
Oh, that's where it gets really fascinating. The idea of Jesus as God's son. Maxwell suggests it might not be just a religious title. He links it to the sun, S-U-N, as the literal source of light and life, like a risen savior each morning.
That is a powerful image. Connecting the spiritual and the celestial.
And it makes you look at that phrase, God's son, in a whole new light, pun intended.
Of course. Okay, but it gets even deeper. Like with the example of Pontius Pilate offering the crowd a choice between Barabbas the criminal and Jesus the embodiment of truth and light,
Yeah.
they choose Barabbas.
It's a powerful symbol, right? Humanity sometimes choosing darkness or at least the familiar over what could bring true enlightenment.
Makes you wonder about the choices we make as a society, doesn't it? Okay, let's shift gears a bit and talk about this concept of Elohim. Most of us grow up thinking of God as singular, but this source brings up a really interesting point about the Hebrew word used in Genesis.
Right. Elohim, the word often translated as God, is actually plural in form, meaning gods, like gods with a small g.
So that phrase, let us make man in our image, who is that us referring to if there's only one God?
It definitely suggests a collective effort, multiple beings involved in creation.
And that ties into the idea that maybe early Hebrews were henotheistic.
Meaning they might have worshipped one god while acknowledging the existence of others, kind of like how you might have a favorite sports team, but you know other teams exist.
The first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me, certainly leaves room for that interpretation.
It does, and that's pretty different from the strict monotheism of modern Christianity.
Huge difference. And then Maxwell goes even further. He talks about the phrase, let us make man in our image after our likeness, suggesting it implies a remaking or even genetic alteration of some pre-existing hominids.
Wow. He even brings up ancient humanoid skeletal remains as possible evidence.
It really makes you reconsider the whole creation narrative. So if these stories aren't meant to be taken literally, where did they come from?
Maxwell talks about the influence of ancient cultures and the idea that these stories are encoded with deeper meaning. He argues that biblical narratives, and particularly the story of Jesus, are rooted in ancient systems of philosophy and belief. systems like astral theology.
Astral theology?
Yeah, it's the belief that celestial bodies and their movements played a huge role in shaping religious beliefs and stories in the ancient world. So basically, this stars and planets were like characters in their myths and religions.
Makes sense. He even compares the Bible to Aesop's fables, stories with a moral or symbolic meaning rather than literal historical events.
It's like the whole Bible is a giant collection of allegories waiting to be decoded.
And then he says that Judaism, Christianity, and Islam all stem from a single ancient story.
Making the Bible the greatest story ever told because it's the oldest and the most influential.
He even mentions Bible quotes briefly. But the part that really caught me off guard was the connection between the Greek word for God, theos, and theater.
Yeah, that one's a bit out there. The idea is that ancient religious practices might have been seen as God shows, like theatrical performances designed to convey spiritual truths in a symbolic and engaging way.
So not just solemn rituals, but full-blown performances.
Okay.
So now we're getting into some pretty wild territory. What about this idea of extraterrestrials?
All right, so buckle up. Maxwell suggests that the Elohim, those plural gods, could actually be beings from another planet, like literally aliens.
The Anunnakis.
Yeah.
Right? The those who from heaven to earth came.
Yep. And if you think about it, the idea that humans were made in their image takes on a whole new meaning if those beings were extraterrestrial.
Suddenly, we're not just talking about a spiritual resemblance, but maybe even a physical one.
Right. And he brings up all these ancient accounts from Egyptian and Hindu texts that describe things like golden circles and silver disks in the sky.
Sounds a lot like UFO sightings.
Exactly. So Maxwell is suggesting that people have been observing these phenomena for centuries.
Okay, so Genesis 1.1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In this interpretation, the Supreme Creator created the Elohim, the Anunnaki, and then they, in turn, created the heavens and the earth as we know it.
It adds a whole new layer to the creation story.
And then there's that alternative translation of Genesis 1.2 that describes the earth as a waste and desolation, suggesting it existed in a prior state and was destroyed or recreated, maybe by these Elohim.
Makes you wonder what happened before, doesn't it?
And all this ties back to those Sumerian writings about creation, the Tower of Babel, the Garden of Eden, the Great Flood. Maxwell suggests that the Bible might actually be drawing from these much older Mesopotamian stories.
It's like the Bible is a greatest hits compilation of ancient myths.
Love that analogy. Oh, and then there's the symbol of the winged disc, which often appears in ancient art. Maxwell suggests it could represent Nibiru, the supposed home planet of the Anunnaki.
And he points out how it's depicted as distinct from the sun in these ancient artworks, which is interesting because a lot of ancient cultures were sun worshippers.
Makes you think about all the hidden symbolism in these ancient cultures. Okay, so let's talk about some specific symbols. The sun and the chief cornerstone. We already touched on the sun as a metaphor, but what about its deeper symbolic meaning?
Well, the source emphasizes how central the sun was to ancient cultures. It represented life, truth, enlightenment. And while it's important to be careful about making direct connections across different languages and cultures, the link to the sun in Christianity is definitely thought-provoking.
Right. And then this whole chief cornerstone thing. In Hebrew, it's Rosh Pinah. And Maxwell says it's not a foundation stone, but the apex stone, the pinnacle. It's not holding anything up. It's the culmination.
Precisely. It represents a connection to the heavens or reaching upwards rather than a grounding downwards.
It changes how you think about that term, doesn't it? Instead of a solid base, it's something that points towards something higher. So this deep dive has taken us down some pretty unexpected paths. We've explored alternative interpretations of some really fundamental religious ideas, questioning everything from the nature of God to the origins of humanity.
And in doing so, we've uncovered a web of ancient myths, powerful metaphors, and even the possibility of extraterrestrial encounters all woven into the stories we find in the Bible.
So here's something for you to ponder. If the stories we think of as literal history are actually encoded metaphors rooted in ancient cultures, and maybe even encounters with advanced beings, what does that mean for our understanding of our place in the universe? And what messages are these ancient texts really trying to convey? It's a lot to think about.
It is, but it's important to keep asking these questions to explore these alternative perspectives and to challenge the traditional interpretations we've been given.
After all, the search for knowledge is a journey. And sometimes the most rewarding discoveries are the ones that shake things up a bit.
Absolutely.
So keep digging, keep questioning, and who knows what you might find.
You never know.